Now it's always like, hey, mom, you're not that cool. Respectfully. That's like.
Hey, I want to make sure the West is on point with the East, right?
I get behind the respectfully.
Respectfully. Like,
damn straight, respectfully. And respectfully, yeah. I'm going to whoop that ass if you keep talking back. Respectfully.
Yeah.
You
know? We're waiting for respectfully to show up back West. But,
yeah, I haven't heard that one yet.
Back East, it seems like the kids are paving the way on the lingo.
So now they say what they need to say respectfully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you could say whatever.
I'm going to insult you respectfully. Respectfully.
Yeah.
Real business owner. Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast with myself, Trevor Cowley, as always, Kel Goodman.
What's up?
Today we have a leadership expert, I would say, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we've been having the privilege to chat with her for the last, 30 minutes or so. She flew in from Orlando, 15 years in the health agency business. She's built kind of a empire for herself.
Absolutely. She's badass.
Yeah. With the Dorn. Is it Dorn region? Is that what it's called? Right. So Mara Dorn, welcome to the show. We appreciate you coming out.
Thanks guys. Thanks for having me. It's a little cold, but thanks.
Yeah. Well, it's,
someone get her a jacket.
It's Southern Utah, in the wintertime. So we can get a lot colder than, Orlando, Florida, that's for certain. So wow. I didn't know that people that lived in Orlando had like even winter gear, if that was even a thing, a sweater and a turtleneck.
I had to go out of state to buy it, but I
had it. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, do they have stores that sell turtlenecks in Orlando?
You know what? I can't think of anything offhand, but I'm sure, and I bought it offline and I go to different states, but you're right now.
So you've built this, mini empire. It's continuing to grow. Obviously you have goals of expanding, growing at all times, right? Like, and you've had to focus really on your leadership abilities and being able to train other individuals to maybe become something more than they currently are, right? You've had to go through that, right? You get introduced to an industry and you're like, okay, I want to make this work and I want to win big. What do I need to do? What do I need to change about myself in order to execute and win at a high level in this industry? If you will, first, let's talk about you. Kind of where were you at in life when somebody introduced you to the insurance game? And what were some of the initial changes that you had to make in order to get where you are today?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
In fact, I was never supposed to be in the insurance game. So my trajectory was I was going to law school. So the economy happened, long story short, and I fell into insurance. And I kind of always laugh. I say insurance chose me. I didn't exactly choose this industry.
Yeah.
So being introduced to it, I was recruited. I was looking to lower my health insurance prices and somebody recruited me and brought me into the industry. I walk into an industry that was completely different from anything that I'd ever been subjected to. And it was definitely an eye opener. Facing a lot of adversities. I was the youngest agent, but I was also the youngest female to enter into this industry.
How old were you?
I was 25 years old when I started.
So how many years in school had you already done, to try to become an attorney before you were like, okay, I need to switch gears with this thing?
I did eight years. Yeah. Wow. I had just finished my master's degree. Wow. I was on my way to law school to do another three. And then
that's a big shift.
Huge shift. It was
so that the sales rep that brought you into the agency was obviously good at what they do.
She definitely was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So she sold you the dream of coming on board and then just top a ramen lifestyle struggles for the first 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. Like, what did that look like?
It was scary. I walked in, I was already newly married. I had my first child and to be really honest, we had $0 in our bank account. So we were desolate. And I walk into an industry that I had zero prior knowledge and I was probably the worst insurance agent for the first 6 months, literally the worst. And for people that have been in sales, they know that you have this like aha moment.
Yeah.
And finally I had this aha moment. It clicked. Where I realized that you got to drop your ego at the door. If you want to do anything, you have to be open-minded. And that was it. That year, that same year, I did, I believe, $92,000 my first year.
Oh, that's awesome. So when that clicked, what were some of the adjustments that you made? Because obviously something clicked and you said, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it at a high level. right? You can't keep the same habits and patterns and, you know, all of those things and then all of a sudden perform at a high level. Did you get mentors? Did you start reading books? Like what were some of the changes that you had to make to become the individual that you are right now?
Right. So that's the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over with zero results. So I did have a mentor and it was literally my last straw on this. I'm like, I'm done. If this does not work, because I would go door to door, face to face. If this doesn't work, I'm out. Like you can call it quits. I'm done. And I walk into this house immediately and I see the people. And at that time, we were not selling to anybody that was uninsurable. So I see the husband, 100% uninsurable. The wife, same thing. And I walk away with zero check in my hand. Mm. I call my mentor. I'm like, I'm done. You know, the leads are horrible. You're horrible. This is awful. So we run through the whole thing. And I had this moment where I realized that it wasn't everybody else. It was me. Mm. It was definitely me. And when I was willing to go 100% all in, because I wasn't 100% bought that this is what I was going to do. Yeah. But when I decided that this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to be 100%. I'm going to do it purposeful and have a direction, that's when everything changed for me. Mm. And that's when the trajectory started. And that's when the growth happened, when I was willing to look introspective and say, you know what, maybe it's not everybody else. Maybe it is me. I need a change.
So did you have to leave maybe old friends kind of behind, or an old life behind? I guess I'm trying to get a snapshot, because there is a shift that happens when you want to become successful. There's always going to be a shift, right? Like you talked about it. Hey, if you've been in sales, you have this aha moment of like, hey, I need to take this thing seriously. This is the route that I'm going to pursue, and this is how I'm going to make my money. And then usually once you make that type of commitment, there's old things that you have to walk away from, whether it's old relationships, you know, old habits, whatever it is. I mean, obviously you had to walk away from the fact that, you know, I'm just kind of half committed, dipping in, dipping out, just kind of testing it. Like you had to walk away from that person that you were.
Right.
You wanted the results prior to going all in and committing, right? And if it produced the results that you wanted, then you would get committed, which that type of mentality doesn't produce the results that you want, right? And then when you got committed, the results started happening,
correct?
Right? So you had to change who you were in terms of your identity and look inward in order to start seeing external changes, right?
Absolutely.
In the results. And so like, I my thing is I just don't think enough people realize that they can't be the version of them that they are today and get a new result.
Sure.
Right. So like, are what does your daily habits look like that molded the individual that you are today?
So first of all, going back to what you said about leaving old friends, I wouldn't say I left them. I would say that if you want to make $1 million, what do they say? Be around people that are making $1 million.
Yeah.
So I started to surround myself with high income earners. And then from there, you see their habits, right? And if it's working for them, you know, I'm not the smartest at all. I wish I was. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed by any stretch of the imagination. The only thing that I do is I can emulate what other people are doing and make it my own. Why wouldn't I if they're successful? So it's getting into a routine, right? So I had a routine, making sure that I was doing the same thing every day. I wake up every day. I go to the gym at 5 a.m. Making sure that I'm goal setting. That's important, right? Making sure that what I'm doing, I'm working with purpose, making sure that the people that I surround myself we have the same mission. So you want to be around like-minded people. So when it comes to change, absolutely. I had to change my mentality that, you know, I had to leave the law school dream. I had to leave that alone for a little bit and then realize that if I wanted to make it and really do something with this, that I had to give it 100% and then surround myself around people that also wanted the same trajectory for their life.
I like that answer. That was a good answer, was it not?
It was great.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you had to get really good at selling insurance, but to build an empire and amazing life that you built for yourself, it really had to require stepping into leadership and recruiting and bringing people underneath you and giving them those tools. And at what point were you like, okay, I've got to do what my mentor is doing that brought me in. I got to start building people underneath me and giving them the game. Like, what was your aha on that? Were you just, like, I got to quit selling insurance. I got to get other people doing it and give them this opportunity.
Well, that's just it. I never quit selling insurance. I led from the front. Yeah. And when people saw that I was likable, they were like, hey, you know, when they like you, they want to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I remember actually, you know, I go to the gym all the time and there was this girl there and we hit it off and she was like, look, I want to do what you're doing. Like, you obviously look like you're doing really well in life. And it started with her. And that's really where I started, was recruiting out of the gym. I'm not going to say which one because I'm blacklisted from there. But you know what?
So you can say it then, you know, if you're blacklisted. So you went to the next gym and started recruiting and then the next one and the next. Yeah, how many gym memberships do you have now?
I had to build a gym in my house because I got kicked out of all of them. But that's where it started. And you know what? For her, I was able to change her entire life. Yeah. And when I saw it, wasn't so much, it had nothing to do with the income. It was the change that I was able to make in other people's lives. Yeah. And once I saw that this industry really can change your life, that was the aha moment for me, is this girl specifically. And from there, it just, it really spiraled. And, and that was it. I started to build my empire and I really wanted to bestow the same opportunity that I had as an agent. I wanted to give it to everybody else.
Yeah. Cool. What do you think the key principles are to be successful in any form of sales?
You have to have a why, definitely. You can't just go in without any purpose. You got to know why you're waking up in the morning. You have to have integrity. If you're not doing it the right way,
it can't be just because you want to make a buttload of cash.
That'll never work. No, never.
It's got to be bigger than that.
It has to be bigger than the cash. I mean, what do they say? Money solves problems. It doesn't make you happy. So it has to be way bigger than that.
Yeah.
Authenticity, be authentic. People like authentic people, you know, ethical people. Do it the right way. Just do it the right way all the time. And you'll be successful.
Yeah. So what's your goals? You talked about goal setting, right? You've already built something that's cool, that's making you money, you're doing well, right? Like what keeps you going and what are the goals moving forward for you?
So over the years, my why has changed. You know, initially it started with my family, making sure that they had food and they can definitely live day to day. Having built such an empire, which I never thought in my entire life that I'd even be able to do, is to give that same vote of confidence to somebody else. That's what I want to do. I want to continue to inspire people to know that they can do absolutely anything they want to do. You don't have to be the sharpest tool in the shed. You don't have to be the most well-spoken. You don't have to be the hottest. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is your will, your want, and your drive, and your ability to help other people.
Yeah, your commitment and your consistency. Absolutely. So what's the next 3 to 5 years look like for you? Like, so now that your goal is to inspire other people, give them the same opportunity that you've had, like, do you set, you know, financial goals still for yourself or a number goal of like, hey, I want X amount of agents by 2025 or at the end of 2024? Or is that not something that you do? Do you just kind of show up and say, I'm going to show up in a certain way and inspire people to want to live a better life, and whatever that number ends up being, it is what it is? Or kind of what's your thought process?
I wish it was
that?
I mean, I usually do fly by the seat of my pants, but no, I plan every year. Every year I go in with a specific goal and a specific plan. So whether the income part, again, that comes with it. So that's kind of, you know, that's put to the side. But what I do plan is, how many agents I'll bring to the opportunity for sure. I do plan what my year is going to look like as far as growth and development, because you need to have a roadmap to get to your end goal. And then I plan ultimately, you know, what that looks like in the future. And for me, I want to continue to grow this empire. Why not? You know, it gives everybody else that same opportunity. It's not about the money for me anymore. But ultimately, what I'd like to do is inspire people by speaking internationally, letting people know that they can absolutely do anything they want to do in life.
What's the hardest part about being in your position, like a leadership position, and trying to inspire people? What would you say the most difficult thing is?
Problem solving. For some reason, people think I'm their designated problem solver. I can't even solve my own problems, let alone everybody else's. So my phone starts at 5 a.m. because everyone knows I'm up. And it literally goes until 11 o'clock at night trying to problem solve and then mitigate through different personalities. You know, different wants, different desires. Everybody wants instant gratification. Everyone wants to be right. So
are you just like reassuring people like, hey, it's okay that you're just, in the process. Well, I don't know if it's for me. I don't know. I mean, this is tough. And no, I'm not making it. He's like, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. We've all done it. Like this is what hard looks like.
Yeah.
And this is what success looks like in the beginning, because it's not pretty, right? And so like, are you, you know, do you feel like that you're more of like a life coach almost to some of these younger people coming into the organization, maybe even older people that just have never really found their path?
Yeah, absolutely. I've done it. I've been there.
Yeah.
You know, so every story about being broke or not having a car, or, you know, living paycheck, I lived it.
Like they think that it's unique to them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I lived it. So if I can do it, you know, you can certainly do it.
Yeah.
So it just depends who I'm talking to. For the agents, I can definitely resonate. I know what that's like. I know the feeling of it. But I also know that hard work really pays off and consistency does. Mm. And working with intent. A lot of the time, you know, people are like, I'm here, I'm working, I'm grinding. And are you here? Are you present? Or are you just there? You know, and that's what they think. And once you start really honing in on what they're doing and looking at their trajectory and their agenda or their motion map and seeing what they're doing, you'd be surprised. Yeah. Not everybody's working.
Yeah.
They're there, but they're not working.
They're there physically, not mentally.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. They're present. They're there, but they're on Facebook, you know, doing the parking lot powwow, a little smoke break here and there, but they're not working with intent.
Yeah,
everything's hard. What in life is not hard? I think everything is.
Everything is.
Worth having.
What were some of like the insecurities that you had to overcome and like stepping into your role, leading other people, and you know, and then do you still have those insecurities that you still have to work on all the time, or are there new ones as you've leveled up? What kind of things have really had that you've had to overcome to be the leader that you have in your organization?
So it's funny that you asked me that. So coming in initially, I was the youngest female, youngest agent, right? I said that. And that's hard when you're working with people that are 10, 15, 20 years older than you to get the buy-in. You know, they're probably like, what does this girl have to offer? But now the opposite happened and I'm the older, you know, seasoned, not older. I'm the older one and trying to get the buy-in from the younger one. So it's keeping up, you know, with innovation, you know, the lingo. I always know the lingo thing that I have a 16-year-old that helps me out. But it's knowing your audience. That's really what it comes down to. Yeah. And knowing that you are genuine. Once they know that you're genuine and you have somebody's best, interest at heart, then it's, the adversity is always going to be there, right? Yeah. The insecurity is always going to be there. But as you grow in the business, I think the adversity and insecurity becomes a little older. Before I was younger, and now I'm older.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of funny how the time
I know for me, like, it's like you always just hear like, put in the reps, it gets better, you know? But it's like, and it does, you know, but it still is always lingering there. You know what I mean? Like whether it's imposter syndrome, whether it's, you know, anything, you know, just something you're not that gifted at that you're putting in the reps, but it's like, it's always like lingering there a little bit, you know, you're always overcoming it.
Well, I mean, I think of it like that, like if you're not dealing with imposter syndrome, are you really playing a bigger game? Right. Like if you think about it, right. Like, so if you don't feel like an imposter, are you in some sort of environment that's of growth? If we're always trying to level up, we should always be a little uncomfortable and feel somewhat of like an imposter, like, oh man, these players, they're way bigger than me. They make more money than me. Or should I be talking on this topic? Or that's just kind of part of the process and things that you have to overcome. But if you don't ever feel like that, you're probably living the same life over and over and over, because you don't feel like an imposter. That just means you're comfortable and you're where things are familiar to you.
Yeah.
But if you're every year you're leveling up, there should be some form of discomfort. In other words, some form of imposter syndrome, because you're leveling up around new people, new players. You're forcing yourself to do new things that maybe you've never done before, right? So
absolutely.
I believe that's, you know,
I'm uncomfortable all the time.
Yeah.
It's funny. That's my mantra. I'm comfortable with being uncomfortable. I literally, you know, people think that I'm so comfortable when I walk in a room and and I take over.
You're different.
But I'm not, usually having a panic attack back.
Yeah.
That's what's
they
happening.
Think. They just think they're like, oh, she's put together. She's just, well, I'm not her. She's her. She's so different than everybody. You know what I mean?
No.
Like that's kind of the thought process, because I think we've all thought that about somebody that we looked at when we were young, that they walked up on a stage or they gave a presentation. You're like, oh man, I'm just never going to be that.
Yeah.
That's just who they are. In reality, their heart's probably beating out of their chest and they behind the scenes were wondering, what the fuck am I doing about to walk on stage and do this thing? You know, are they going to figure it out that, you know, this is my first time or whatever it is, right?
Absolutely.
So, were you nervous prior to doing the show?
Not today. I was okay. Today, this is like,
we're not intimidating, is what you're saying.
I feel no. You guys are definitely intimidating, but you guys are it's like, I've known you guys for a long time. I know you're making it real easy, too easy. Yeah. Like, what's gonna happen? Am I being punked? I don't know.
We have a button under the table that something pops out and spooks you. Like, if we feel like that you're getting a little too comfortable, but it's pretty impressive what you've done. And the level of confidence that have or portray, right? Like, we all
show.
Yeah, you know, it is very, very impressive. And I think that there's a lot of women that could look up to you and follow suit in what you're doing, because you had to get the reps, just as we talked about. You had to be uncomfortable, just as we talked about, in order to become the individual that you are today. And so that's just part of the process. So if you've walked that road, you know, we understand what that road looks like and what it feels like, and it's just not easy. And so the fact that you've done it, you know, I take my hat off to you for doing that. And you are an example to many people because of your resilience and some of the things that you've done.
Is there some commonalities that, because, I mean, you've led hundreds and hundreds of people, right? And it's like, are there some commonalities of the people that you are like, oh, they got it, or they're making it, or they do make it, that you're like, okay, those are the kind of people that or they have this thing in common, I guess, that you can actually do something with them, or you can actually give them the path. Like, what are some of those?
Like, they're going to be successful.
Yeah, like some traits, yeah. You know?
Shitty upbringing.
Yeah. No, I don't know about shit. Yeah, everybody has
zero options. Yeah.
Got their story, back against right? the wall, bro. Yeah. You know, it's funny. Most people that come to the opportunity we're giving them a second chance. Something happened to them in life, you know, and they're there to either going to go big or go home. Yeah. So the ones that make it, those are the ones that are resilient. Those are the ones that had something happen to them. Whether they were completely desolate, or, you know, somebody told them they couldn't do something, or there was little belief, or whatever the case, but yeah, they all have a commonality. And then in the end, it's the same thing. You know, everybody has a bigger purpose than themselves.
Yeah.
And when you have a purpose greater than yourself, then you become a servant leader.
Yeah.
And those are the people that do really well. That's the commonality between all of us.
Yeah. I was just thinking about it because I relate to you a lot, right? Like, I get anxiety every time before I go to a speaking gig, you know, it's like, I have all these things. I'm like, I'm going to talk on this, and I'm going to say it like this, and then I build some framework. And it's like 5 minutes before I go on stage, 10 minutes. I'm like, why did I sign up for this? What the hell? I can't even remember everything I was going to talk about. Now I'm going on stage and I'm winging it, you know? And one of our friends, he's been on our podcast a couple times. He broke it down for me. And I was like, oh shit, I do that. That's why I've been able to build some success that I have built. And he says, you know, look, you know, in order for you to become very successful, the number one skill that you can possess is courage, right? Because that's really what it takes first, right? You find these people are like courageous. They want something better for themselves. They don't know what they're doing, but they've got to get over that anxiety and just step into it, right? And then if you have courage, and then you find something that you're like, okay, this is it. I'm going to make the commitment. The commitment now is something that you're like, okay, I'm going to do this over and over and over again, which turns into consistency. And when you have courage and a commitment and you're consistent, it turns into competency. And when you have competency with the consistency, it's like, man, you'll be consistent or you'll be successful at whatever it is that you want to do. And so nowadays it's like, oh man, I'm always looking for people that are like willing to suck. They just have the courage to like step into something, especially those people that you're talking about where it's like, you know, like, man, I need my thing. You know, I need that. I need my second chance. I need to be successful at something. I need to feel my value. I need to find my worth. Right. And it's like, but if they have the courage and they have that, they're looking for something. It's like, man, you can do so much with those people and really help them build their life because you've done it.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, I brought that up just because I'm like, I'm listening to you talk and I'm like, you overcome this anxiety every time you're going up there and leveling up, you're trying to help someone or you're trying to take something big on. And you just seem like a person that just has so much courage. Right. And then you've got all these other ingredients that you splashed in with it.
Yeah. I don't think there's a choice. You know, one thing I am. I am terrified to fly. Terrified. Really? But I'm on a plane every 8 to 10 days. So when you just did those four C's, I'm like, wait, you're right. Like, I don't have a choice. I'm terrified. It goes the same way every single time. I'm anxious, usually having a panic attack for sure. But I'm going on that plane no matter what, you know, because it's usually I have to go see my offices.
Yeah.
So if I don't go to see my offices, then I don't get to see the people, and then the people aren't inspired. Then I'm no longer impeccable to my word, and I'm not executing, and I'm not doing anything. Yeah. So regardless of my anxiety or whatever the case may be, it doesn't matter for me. Yeah. I'm going. Yeah. I'm going no matter what.
So are you this, like, do you like roller coasters?
I don't love roller coasters. I will get on one. I will get on one. I will do it. I don't love it. I don't like the thing in the stomach, you know, that happens. I hate it. I probably will avoid it if I went to a theme park with you. But if you were like,
oh no, I don't fuck around with.
Okay, good. So yeah, then
because I'm not a huge fan of flying either. Like, you know, I was always scared of flying too. When you hit like one bump or, you know,
it's over.
And it's like, oh fuck, I knew it. It's going down.
The one plane.
And it's like, I don't ever fly. And always going to happen to the guy that, you know, that flies two times and it's going to go down. And the guy that flies daily, nothing happens to, you know. But I don't, I don't do the pit stomach feeling.
Yeah, for the tummy, it's not good. I mean, that's
flying in the summer is the worst because there's a lot of turbulence when you're, when you have that hot air.
Yeah,
it's oh, fuck that noise. I'll drive, you know.
So, I wish that I could drive, but I can't drive from Florida to Vegas. That would take a really long time.
Yeah. Hey, you could, you know, get an RV and, you know, set up more offices along the way.
That's not a bad idea.
Motivation.
Yeah. There, you know what? You might be onto something. You
know, week here, you know, make it, that's your summer trip now with the family. It's just great. Visit every single office and never have to see an airplane again, you know.
You might be onto something.
So, if it happens, you know, I just expect some equity in some of the regions that you open along the way.
You got it.
For the inspiration. So
what is some of the lingo your daughter's been teaching you? You brought that up a little bit ago. It's like, oh, my teenagers are calling their mom bruh. Like, bruh.
She does that one. What's bruh. The big one she tells me? Cap. That's cap, mom. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Cap. Cap. Yeah, for real. On God. For real. Or what else does she say? Respectfully. Now it's always like, hey mom, you're not that cool. Respectfully. That's like,
I want to make sure the West is on point with the East, right?
I get behind the respectfully.
Respectfully.
Like, damn straight, respectfully. And respectfully, yeah. I'm going to whoop that ass if you keep talking back. Respectfully.
Yeah. You know? We're waiting for respectfully to show up back West. But,
yeah, I haven't heard that one yet.
Back East, it seems like the kids are like, paved no away offense, on the lingo.
But, yeah. So now they say what they need to say respectfully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you could say whatever.
I'm going to insult you respectfully.
Yeah. You're a dumbass respectfully.
Yeah. Gotcha. You're not that cool, okay. Mom. Respectfully.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, that's cool. Well, yeah, now, so when you go up and talk to people, do you say like, look, you guys are in a shitty situation. Respectfully.
No, usually
you need to work with us.
No, I don't usually say that. I'll start my meeting and I'll say something like y'all had a great sales week. No cap on God for real. And then everybody like kind of laughs and like, oh, she's, you know, they
she's
all laugh.
Cool.
Yeah.
I she's think the hip leader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's not the old leader. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I would for sure feel that imposter syndrome feeling that we were talking about earlier. If I said those things after what I said, you know, like,
I mean, I feel, well,
you feel hip and you know, cool.
I don't know
I'm starting to feel old.
I'm definitely older. I used to feel cool. Now I feel, I don't know what I feel. You never know what day it is.
Everything's popping when I get out of bed these days. Just old, you know, I feel like I hit by a freaking truck.
Season, not old.
Oh, gotcha.
Season.
I'm okay with old. Me, old equals wisdom. Right.
That's a good way of thinking of it.
Like, yeah, I don't. I'm enjoying the elder version of me.
Are you?
He ain't even 40 yet.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, are you?
I'm 39. I'm just you're right in that last year before the big 4-0. You know, so
talk to me when you're older, a little older,
a little older. A little okay, older. So I'm young.
Yeah, you're.
I'm capping right now.
Yeah.
Cap.
Young and wise. Okay. You're gotcha. Young and wise, Drew.
Yeah, no, I love that. Well, thanks for coming out and coming on the show. That was fun. Yeah.
I do have one more question, though.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
what is it that you want the most right now? Like, we talked about your why and your goals. Because for me, it's like, it seems like you're wanting to get out and inspire more than people that just want to become like, not just, but insurance agents. Like, are you looking like, hey, I want to get on bigger stages and events that look like this? Because I'm sure you've spoken at all kinds of insurance events. And I've seen you speak on your social media. You do a very good job. So I'm just curious, like, what is it? What kind of stages or what kind of things do you want to do with your gifts that you have now?
Yeah. So like I said, I do have a daughter. I have three kids. But for me, you know, I want to be able to inspire not only my daughter or not only women, but I want to be able to inspire everybody that I meet and let anybody know that they can absolutely do this. And not just on a national level, but on an international level.
Yeah.
You know, you really can do anything you want in this life.
Yeah. So any industry, entrepreneurship, like if people want you on their stages, they should hit you up because you're
absolutely. It's not excluded. Yeah. Know that, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're selling health insurance or knives or Mary Kay, or it doesn't matter. You know, the ambition and the drive and the message is still the same. You can do anything you want.
Yeah. Absolutely. You just have to become the individual and be committed, as you were talking about earlier. And then you could do whatever you set your mind to at that point. So how do people connect with you if they want to connect with you?
So I'm on social media. You can look me up on Facebook or Instagram, Mara Dorn, and that's where you'll find me. Just type in my name.
M-A-R-A.
Yep, like Mara, like see you tomorrow. M-A-R-A, and then D-O-R-N-E.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, guys. Guys, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you share it with somebody that you love and that you care about. This is an individual that I believe will continue to do big, big things.
No doubt.
You know, she's just continuing to rise. It's just her personality and the way that she operates. And so it was a pleasure speaking with you today. Guys, keep kicking ass. Take care. We'll see you next week.